This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to our April 17th, 2018 edition of Invest Talk. And this hour is all about making the most of the money that you earn and the money that you save and ultimately invest. Now, we're big on investing, of course, on this show, hence the name Invest Talk, and it's really the only way you're going to be able to accumulate enough money to see you through your retirement years. You have to invest it over time, maybe not every second of every hour of every day, but you need to be always thinking about how to maximize your savings. And but a lot of people think that investing is the number one way, but it isn't. It's actually saving. So you have to do the first step, and that is saving. And that is actually far more important than the investing side. You need to be able to save and save consistently. And that's why 401ks are so popular, or such a great way to save for retirement, because it's automatic, it's easy, and it kind of forces people to save. But we're going to talk a little bit more this hour about how to help you become financially independent. And we're going to try to make the most of this hour together and help you make better money decisions. So please don't save your questions. I hope to hear from you this hour. Our live line is open now at 888-99-CHART. It's always open for a live call from 4 to 5 Pacific time, but you can always call after hours, leave your message, and we'll answer it on an upcoming show. Now, financial writers are likely going to attribute today's up market to earnings. You saw Netflix have good earnings before or after the bell yesterday, and the latest round of corporate earnings supported the idea that valuations are okay. They're not too overvalued in relation to economic activity. So I want to talk a little bit about earnings and earnings estimates, and these estimates are indispensable when it comes to attempting to value a company. Earnings are the first place that you go. Obviously, there are other factors to consider, such as revenue growth and profitability and balance sheet and the strength of their business brand and leadership. But earnings are where you start, okay? So we're going to talk about that. But first, let's get to work answering the questions that came to us between programs. I'm open to any money questions at 888-99-CHART. It's our anytime number.
Hey, this is Joseph from Louisville, Kentucky. I'm 38. I got into investing late, but, you know, everything's decent. I have VOO, Victor Oscar Oscar, is my fund, IRA, and I've got about $50,000 in that, and that's it. I plan in the next 20, 25 years to invest heavily, to maximize as much as I can, full max, my Roth IRA, and then contribute about 10 grand a year, hopefully, in my 401k. Did a lot of traveling in my 20s, but didn't think about compound interest, and tell your younger listeners they definitely need to do that. But I'm on the catch up, and I was just wanting to know, if you're in my shoes, you're 38, I have a good job, you know, making 60, 70,000 a year in Louisville, Kentucky, and I live way up below my means. What other funds is there good to look at as far as long term? And then also, I'm looking at probably after I maximize 401k and Roth, what's a good fund for long term, even though I know I'm going to get hit with capital gains tax, to just invest? I want to do slow and steady and with maybe 5%, play around with it. But I really appreciate it. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it, and don't worry about starting out too late in life. You're not alone, and actually 38 is probably relatively on the young side when it comes to a time frame when somebody tends to start paying attention to retirement. Many don't start thinking about it until they hit their late 40s, 50s, so don't feel bad. Certainly younger would have been better, but you know, you're 38, so you still have some time. You're living below your means. That's the first thing that you need to that strikes me when I heard your call, is that's where everybody needs to start, and you have that part down, and that's a lot of times the hardest thing for many people to do. Now you're looking at VOO, which is the Vanguard S&P 500 ETF, and I've talked many times on this show about how kind of everyone's over-indexing. So not to say that you should not ever index or shouldn't have part of your portfolio in index funds and in large cap domestic funds, indexing probably makes the most sense out of all the different asset classes. But what I would say is you need to diversify into other categories. I would do small cap value, find a fund like that. There's some great active funds out there that I would search for. I can't give you the specifics, but you definitely want to do a little bit of legwork, add some exposure there. I would also look for foreign ownership. That's where the better valuations are today. Some emerging market exposure as well. I think that's probably the most attractive asset class on the equity side in the market today. So I would look at that, diversifying your portfolio, maybe some also developed foreign markets or foreign market funds as well. And there's some great ones out there, and that's usually more active funds are better for that. I would probably sprinkle in some corporate bond funds as well, a small percentage, even though you're relatively young, just to kind of even out the performance over time, have the consistency of income, maybe 10, 15% of your portfolio there. And I would start to, like I said, diversifying away from the S&P 500 fund, not to say you need to sell it, but start to build around it, right? The S&P 500 is maybe a good starting point and a good base, but if you're looking for the best performance long term, you know, I think you need to start allocating to some other asset classes. So start thinking about that. And I'm glad you called. I wish I could give you more specifics, but hopefully I gave you an idea of how to think about diversifying your overall portfolio. Now, why do investors perk up during earnings season? Of course, earnings reports are very useful for investors and traders because over the long run, positive trending earnings are really all that matters, right? To not only the individual stocks, but the market as a whole. Earnings support valuations, okay? And so if earnings overall are rising, then the odds are good that the market's going to be rising as well to support or adjust to those new earnings estimates. Now, from 2014, 15 to 2017, there wasn't a lot of earnings growth and the market still went up. So earnings growth isn't the end-all be-all of price movement. But in the long run, at least in the short to medium term, but in the long run, earnings matter more than anything. So traders are going to feel confident about future market prospects if the majority of companies are growing their sales and earnings each and every quarter, every year. On the other hand, if earnings are trending below expectations, and that's really what this is all about, is expectations. Remember, the market is always looking forward. You'll see many times where companies report a good earnings number, but their projections for the future maybe disappoint the market, and you'll see the stock fall. So you'll see the headline says earnings are good, but the stock is falling, and a lot of people wonder why. Well, because the market doesn't care that much about what happened over the last quarter. They care about what is going to happen next quarter, the next three quarters, next five quarters, etc., right? So it's all about earnings expectations. And most analysts are focused on that, right? They're talking to people within the industry, they're talking to leadership within companies, and trying to come up with an earnings estimate based on those channel checks, shall we say. And this is what analysts tend to be the most beneficial for, is to figure out what earnings are going to be in the relatively near future. Now, typically they're more optimistic than they should be the farther out their expectations are. So, for their 2019 earnings expectations are probably more aggressive than they will be, right? Or more optimistic than they will be. Whereas the 20 or the second quarter, third quarter earnings, those are closer and easier to project and more accurate. But when it comes to the actual price targets, that's not something that analysts typically are great at, but they're pretty good at figuring out earnings. So companies often manage their earnings carefully to ensure that consensus estimates are not missed, right? So they're not going to be, they want the they're going to give the right feedback to the analyst so the analyst can really hone in on a number that the company feels comfortable that they can beat. And research has shown that companies that consistently beat earnings estimates outperform the market, which is pretty obvious, right? So companies many times set expectations very low. Apple's very notorious for this. They have weak earnings guidance almost always, just so that it's easy for them to consistently beat that estimate. So if you'd like more detailed explanation of the impact of earnings and how to use this tool, just go to our friends over at Investopedia.com. There's always some great information there. Now, this is Invest Talk. I'm financial advisor Justin Klein. All money topics are open for discussion during this hour. Everything from IRA rollovers to selling your home. We can talk about reading a company's annual report or how to rebalance your retirement portfolio or something stock specific. There's some exciting news today on many stocks out there. So give me a call. 888-99-CHART is how to get through right now on Invest Talk.
You're listening to Invest Talk, and we're listening to you.
Steve, I had a question about insider trading.
The question is, looking at stocks that have a high short ratio, is that a red flag for you as an investor?
Get your question to us right now at 888-99-CHART. That's how you can reach Invest Talk anytime.
Let's go to Steve in Murrieta. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing fine, Justin. First of all, thank you for getting me on the live stream today. I appreciate that. As you may or may not know, I'm a new client after meeting with you and Steve, and I did have a couple of quick questions for you. One, ABCD, a stock. I'm curious on your take on that. It's Cadmium Learning. And then the second question is, the way the market's been acting the past few days, are you getting a sense that our downside risk might be diminishing?
I would say that, you know, we're approaching some levels that would tell me that the downshift has broken to the upside. We're not quite there yet. There's some levels, especially on a weekly basis, that I would like to see the market close above. And if you look at things like the NYSE index, which is a much broader index than kind of the big ones that you see touted there on media, it's actually much weaker than many of the major indexes. So I'm not at that point yet, but certainly this rally, you know, could just be a relief rally. And kind of capital flows between global markets still remain kind of negative for developed markets. And so that makes me still weary of the market overall.
Okay, thank you. And then the stock ABCD, Cadmium Learning, any thoughts on that?
Okay, this is ABCD, Cambium Learning Group out of Dallas, Texas. They provide published products and learning technologies from pre-K through 12th grade and specialty education markets. Can you tell me a little bit more about what you know about them?
Well, I'm actually in that space. I'm a recruiter in the educational space, and I know that they've got some pretty good products that seem to be coming out. The debt is being reduced significantly year over year, and the earnings or free cash flow is increasing significantly year over year in recent
years.
So those are the things.
Okay, we're going to have to go to a quick break. I'm going to get to this right after the break. Give me a call, 888-99-CHART. That's 888-992-4278.
Invest Invest Talk continues on a service of KPP Financial. To build a solid foundation for your retirement strategy, you need to confront risk. Take the 3-minute quiz, the risk analysis quiz, on investtalk.com. It's free. And now it's time to bring your money question to the table. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
All right, we're back with Steve. You still there?
Yes, I am.
All right, we're talking about Cambium Learning Group, and they are in the education space, and you said they are extinguishing a lot of debt, which my numbers say the same thing. They had about roughly, let's see, long-term debt about $200 million back in 2010. Now it's down to $65 million of long-term liabilities, so they're definitely consistently paying off their debt. Their cash flow from operations has gone from back in 2009 was about $2 million. Now we're up to $50 million. So they're certainly growing their business. And you said they're launching new products. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
I don't know a great deal about that yet. I just know that I've heard from some of the schools and things that I work with that they've been signing new projects with them. I know they've been hiring a lot of new people as well, so they seem to have some things that are gelling well with the marketplace, I guess is what it boils down to.
Gotcha. Well, that jives with the numbers and also jives with the chart as well. It was consolidating right around the $5 range for looks like about 2 years and has recently broken out to the upside. Now we're at $12.67 a share. Earnings supposed to grow to 29% this year, 18% next year. So this is certainly a growth story. What worries me a little bit is the actual reported numbers for last year aren't reflecting that yet, but obviously, like you said, if they're just signing contracts, that's not going to reflect in the previous numbers, but we'll project going forward, and that's what analysts are expecting for earnings to rise pretty dramatically this year and a decent clip next year. So I like it. I like the momentum. I like what you're hearing. I like anecdotal stuff that confirms what we're seeing in the numbers as well as the chart. So I like Cambium Learning Group overall.
Okay, good. I just took a small position in it today, and we'll keep an eye on it. So,
all right. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Thanks for the call. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We invite your calls and your topics, and we have our talking points as well. And we're going to spend a few minutes today talking about competitive returns with socially responsible funds, and whether or not that's something that you want to add to your portfolio or stick exclusively to. I also want to touch on Social Security. Many millennials, younger people, think Social Security won't be there for them in retirement. And I think it's kind of a big misnomer. Maybe a little bit less than expected, but odds are we'll still get something. So we're going to talk a little about what those numbers do look like. Also want to discuss the industrial production number that came out today for March that was stronger than expected, partially because of the spike in utility demand from electricity and natural gas because of weather. But what does the underlying trend say about industrial production overall? And then if we have time, once again, I want to get to one thing I didn't get to yesterday, which was myths about IRA contributions. So those are the things that are on my mind today, but ultimately I want to hear from you. 888-99-CHART is the number. 888-992-4278 is how you get through and ask your question on today's show. We have about a half hour left, but it will go by fairly fast. Now, today was a positive day in the market, and just like Steve said, we are starting to bump up against resistance levels that if we go a little bit higher in the market, I could say that the recent downturn has ended, or at least ended for the time being. I'm not there yet. The credit markets were relatively weak overall on the day, but you had good earnings from Netflix. You had poor earnings from IBM after hours, just kind of one of those old world stocks. And over the past few days, new world stocks have really taken hold. once again. So the NASDAQ has done well, was up 124 points today, up about 1.74%, excuse me, on the day, which is a very strong showing for the NASDAQ, led by Netflix. You had the S&P up 1.07%, the Dow up 0.87%. Okay, so we had a positive day overall in the market. Now let's get back to our 24-hour listener line and pick up another question. 888-99-CHART. It's our anytime number.
Hello, Steve or Justin. Stan from Springfield, Missouri. I have a question as to where a good place would be to put some of my cash. I would like you to take a look at GSY, and tell me what you think. Thanks so much.
All right, GSY is the PowerShares Ultra Short Duration Fund, and this exchange-traded fund seeks performance corresponding to the Barclays Capital 1 to 3 month U.S. Treasury Bill Index. Yields about 2%. This is certainly a name that is has been down recently. Why? Because of the rise in short-term interest rates. So even though short-term bonds don't have a lot of volatility, when the Fed is tightening, and you're going to get the biggest move from, you're still going to get short-term bond prices lower. And so you've seen this go down. Yields are about 2%. And it's not a terrible place to park some cash if you're looking to do so. You know, you're not going to see a ton of volatility, but it's not a bad place if you're just looking for that stability and safety of that 2% yield.
Our podcast continues next. First, good reason number 5 for a portfolio checkup with Steve. Steve says that many portfolios he looks at are weighted in just one or two sectors. A diverse mix of market sectors is so important to the health of a retirement portfolio. Steve can help you reorganize your retirement portfolio. He can make suggestions about the sectors of the future. And if you'd like, a KPP financial program that fits your goals and your life situation. There's never a cost for InvestTalk listeners and no sales pitch or obligation of any kind ever. To schedule your one-on-one conversation with Steve, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab and then Portfolio Review, or you can call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. And now let's continue with the podcast. Is Invest Talk, and it's a two-way conversation. Even if you're a podcast listener, you can speak with Justin or Steve. Call between 4 and 5 p.m. Pacific time, and we're open to any money question. The number is 888-99-CHART.
Now let's get to our main talking point today, and that is about socially responsible investing. And some investors have a conscience, you know, some don't. Some just want to make money no matter what in any investment out there. But some investors don't like to put their money behind certain types of companies, like tobacco companies, maybe gambling stocks, alcohol-related stocks, maybe gun manufacturers, even nuclear power. That's one place a lot of people don't want to put their money behind, maybe adult entertainment, or maybe just a combination of some of those things, or all of those things. So there are some socially responsible funds out there. And if you look in the Morningstar's database and you look for funds that have at least a 10-year track record, which kind of now lumps in, I guess we're getting close to that 10-year mark for the financial crisis, but it kind of lumps in that downturn, which is good to encompass when you're trying to understand performance. There's about 91 socially responsible funds out there with at least a 10-year track record. Okay. Now, if you get rid of different fund classes, there's actually about 42 funds in reality. And there's some ones that have really good performance in relation to their just their asset class overall. Now, many of them do not. Just like, you know, you look at a lot of different funds out there. There's many that are kind of average or below average, and that's just how this all works, right? There's also a Vanguard has a socially responsible index class. They rank 19th in overall rating, which is still pretty good, but it's not the top fund out there, even though they rank 11 when it comes to sustainability, which is the best out there. And that's all these things, all these sustainability factors and socially responsible factors are built into what is called the prospectus of the fund. So they are, that excludes them from investing in certain types of companies. Now, the big question a lot of people ask is, can I still make good money while being socially responsible? And the answer is yes, you can still get above average returns. But typically, if you look at it, tobacco stocks tend to have very, very high return on invested capital and very strong long-term track records. Same with gambling stocks. They tend to have very good long-term track records. Other sectors, maybe nuclear power, you know, not so much. You know, they're kind of in line with the overall utility industry. And so maybe you can leave out those and not have above average returns. So I think, like most things, I think it's better to buy individual names and maybe weed out specific areas of the maybe vice stocks, shall we call it, that you might not like. And you would probably get a better return if you did that. But if you don't want to do that legwork and you still want to be socially responsible, you can still get above average returns. But don't think you can get the best funds out there by sticking with socially responsible stocks. Okay, so it just depends on how much you value the ability to be socially responsible. And I'm personally, I would say, just buy the best things out there. If you're not going to put your money in behind a company, guess what? Someone else will. So it's not going to put these companies out of business. It's not really going to change the trajectory of what they do, most likely, unless it becomes a large fad that happens within a particular industry. But we really haven't seen that yet. But we might see that with gun stocks. We might see that with nuclear power. But we haven't seen that as of yet. So I'm just not a fan of the socially responsible indexes because I want the maximum return that I can get. Now, we're here for you, beginner or experienced investor, at 888-99-CHART. That's our anytime number.
Hey, Steve and Justin. Love the show. I'm calling because I have a question about ticker symbol TOL. That's Toll Brothers. They're in the home building business. I'm wondering what you guys think is a good price to get in this, and then also like what a good target is for like a 1 to 2 year time frame. All right, I'll listen for the answer. Thanks.
I'm actually not a fan of Toll Brothers. Now, while their earnings have gone up, and there is kind of a constrained property market right now, and that's going to be a tailwind, I think, for Toll Brothers for the kind of short term. I think longer term, you're going to see interest rates rise. You see the change in the tax code that's going to be not so beneficial for higher priced properties, which will eventually weigh on lower priced properties as well because they become more competitive, et cetera. But overall, I think you're late in the cycle as well. You've already had a rally on Toll Brothers from a low of, call it $23, $24 a share to a high of $52.73 is a 52-week high. And it's come off down to about $43.41 at the close today. And I just am not a fan of Toll Brothers at this time, this late in the cycle. Now, could we rally back up to $50? Yeah, and I think we're probably near some short and medium-term support. So I could see us double-topping in that low 50 range. But that's the extent that I see Toll Brothers going for this cycle. Longer-term, in the mid to high 20s is a place that I would want to own it long term. But right now, I'm just not a huge fan unless you're going to trade it for maybe a drop in interest rates and a rise in the stock price for a double top into the low 50s. But I think that's about the peak that we're going to see for this cycle. That was Toll Brothers. T-O-L is the symbol. 888-99 chart, 888-992-4278. Let's talk a little bit about financial literacy. It is Financial Literacy Month, the month of April, and Steve and I are drawing your attention to some resources to help you beef up your financial literacy. Here are three. Federal Student Aid Financial Aid Toolkit. This is from the Department of Education. They have a section devoted to federal student aid resources. That includes a financial literacy resource presentation. So if you're looking at colleges for yourself or a family member, maybe a child or a niece or a nephew, you should go to financialaidtoolkit.edu, or ED, I believe. Take a look at that. And then also Practical Skills Program. The Practical Skills Program is an online program sponsored by Visa. And the website contains articles designed for both educators and individuals. And the topics range from scale economics to best practices to managing a budget, which is obviously very important and something that I think most kids don't learn enough about. And there's a variety of lesson plans designed for teachers to teach to their students from kindergarten all the way through college. They have free DVDs, brochures, other things. PracticalMoneySkills.com. It's a great one. And then Money Management International is a business devoted to financial education. It has its own Financial Literacy Month toolkit. It's available in both English and Spanish. It includes information products, ebooks, news articles, etc. Go to moneymanagement.org. It's a great place. Now, if you like those addresses again, just give us a call on our listener line before the program is over today, and we will give you more specifics and remind you what those are.
Are you at a time in your life when you can take considerable amount of risk with your investments? Of course, if you're young and have many years ahead of you, you may be able to afford to take on more risk for the sake of more gain. There's good reason to consider that approach. If you're closer to retirement or in retirement, of course, you have to be more cautious. The whole question of risk tolerance is one you need to confront before you can design an effective and appropriate plan for yourself. If you'd like a second opinion, then why not reserve an hour and talk about it with Steve or Justin? They're happy to provide individual retirement reviews via the phone or Skype. To reserve your time, just go to investtalk.com.
Let's go to Josh in San Francisco. How you doing, Josh?
Josh, hey, real quick, PPA ETF, PowerShares, aerospace. Yes or no?
Are you looking for a trade? Are you looking long term? What's your goal here?
Long term. Aerospace defense
okay.
industry.
Yeah, you know, this is a name. This has been hot. Obviously, Boeing is a large share of this ETF, PPA, the PowerShares Aerospace and Defense ETF. And so it's done very well recently, and Boeing is the top holding, about 7%, as well as Lockheed Martin, Honeywell, United Technologies, General Dynamics, and they're certainly going to benefit and have benefited from Trump's spending plan, right? He wants to increase spending on military, and many of these stocks have contracts with the military, and so many of them are either going to have contracts increase or ones that maybe weren't going to go through or probably going to go through because Trump spending big money on military. Typically, things that have been hot like this in the recent past and very strong performer in 2017. What was the performance last year? I'm trying to bring that up. Trying to figure out where this is. It's just done very well recently. I can't find the exact performance for last year. They tend to be poor performers in the following year. So I think you're kind of late to the game now. If I'm talking about what I'm going to hold for the next 15 years, 20 years, it's a good place to be. A lot of them have very high returns on capital, return on equity, good, steady, strong businesses, but also many are very overvalued at the current time because of the recent run. So if you're willing to go through a large downturns, yeah, this is likely going to have a large downturn in the next 3 to 5 years as the growth in spending on military slows down and suddenly these high valuations kind of have to adjust. I think you're likely going to find a better time to get into this sector. But is it a good fund to put in my portfolio and not look at for 15 or 20 years? Yes. So it kind of depends on how you want to play this ETF overall. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, makes sense. Appreciate it, sir.
Thanks for the call, Josh. That was PPA, the PowerShares Aerospace and Defense ETF. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We have 10 minutes left, so if you're going to call, get your call in now. Let's talk about Social Security and the younger generation, right? 80% of millennial workers say they're worried that Social Security won't be there for them in retirement, according to a study by TransAmerica. This is counting millennials from if you're born between 1979 and 2000. And even though the system is projected to be able to pay only 75% of benefits starting in 2035, when the trust fund reserves will be depleted, doesn't mean that you're not going to get anything, right? What it means is that future benefit increases won't outpace inflation, okay? So even if Social Security benefits were cut by 25% when the trust fund runs out, the real value of those benefits are likely to be higher than what retirees are receiving today, okay? So the reason is because incomes are likely to be much higher overall in, let's call it 10 years or so, 15 years. And payouts are going to be funded by payroll tax, just like they are today in a lot of cases. What's the biggest change is the replacement rate of the income that should be expected. So the average earning 65-year-old retiring in 2035 is expected to get about 36% of their income replaced by Social Security. In 2015, that was 39%. In 1995, that was 43%. So what it shows is that while the payouts will be higher than they are today, that increase won't be outpaced by income growth overall. Will be outpaced by income growth overall. So what that means is, while you should expect Social Security to still be there in, call it 20 years, you shouldn't expect the amount of payout to be as high in relation to your income as many of the retirees are getting today. So the replacement rate is likely going to drop. So you're going to get something, just not quite as much in relation to your income as your parents or maybe your grandparents are getting right now. So what does that mean? It means that you still need to consistently save. You need to focus on investing in your 401k, your IRA, those things, and try to save about 15% of your income. That's where you need to be in order to reach your goals long term, and have enough to replace that gap in income that you aren't going to get replaced by Social Security, which is going to be roughly about 2/3 of your income that you're going to need to replace on your own and that you can't rely on Social Security. Now you get the last word. We're going into our last segment of the hour, but we do have time for your question to help up wrap up the day. Check in now at 888-99-CHART. Join in on the discussion.
Let's get back to your calls on Invest Talk for this Tuesday, April 17th. Getting a fixed income should not only be your goal for retirement years, it can also be used for other financial goals. In Search of Fixed Income, that's next time. You have a question for Justin right now. 888-99-CHART is how to reach him on InvestTalk.
Hey guys, my name's Paul. I'm calling from California. I'm calling about McCormick & Company, ticker MKC. Looking at it as a long hold dividend buy on the upper end of its 52-week price range, and it looks like the PE is around 26. But I'm calling to see if you guys think it's a good company to get into, and if so, what's a good buy point? All right, thanks a lot. I look forward to hearing it on the podcast. Bye.
All right, he's looking at McCormick and Company. They make seasoning, spices, herbs, sauces, and other food products for consumer and industrial markets worldwide. It's about a $14 billion company, one of the pretty much the largest in this kind of niche space, right, in seasonings and spices. Revenues are growing about 20%. Earnings are up 32% year over year. Yields about 1.9%. Decent amount of debt. That would worry me for a typical cyclical business, but this is not a cyclical business in general. But it is relatively expensive, and that worries me a little bit. You know, it's a great company. Return on equity long term is 26%, and return on invested capital in the teens. So very, very strong company from an operating standpoint. However, it isn't cheap. Its enterprise value to EBITDA is 21, which is high for a name that, you know, doesn't have. I know it's growing recently. I'm not sure if that's because of an acquisition, but it typically it's a slow growth company. You know, 2 years ago it was growing earnings in 1%, 2%, 3%, 4% or so, or revenue at least. So it's definitely a slow growth company, but it's a very good company. So my and technically it's strong. You know, it's in an uptrend. It had a little pullback in late 2016, chopped around for 2017, and looks to be trying to break out. So I definitely think it could make a run into the 120 level. It's at 108.45 at the close today. But in general, long term, it's expensive for what it is and the business that it's in. But it's a good company. So, you know, short term it's strong, so it's likely to go higher. Medium term, you're probably going to see some sort of a pullback. You'll but probably in the next 2 to 3 years find a better value point to get in. But if you're going to buy it today and hold it for 15, 20 years, it's probably a name that you're going to do pretty well in because it's a niche space. They have good brands and they have high return on equity, high return on invested capital, good long-term profitability. It's not going to be a huge grower. You're probably not going to, it's not going to be a 10 bagger, right? You're not going to go up 1,000% over the next 10 years, but, you know, could it go up, could it double in the next 10 years? Absolutely, because of the strength of its brand, its cash flow, it spins off, and it's definitely a good company, but it is expensive at the current time. Now let's go a little bit to industrial production. The numbers came out today for March, and they were better than expected, but a lot of that has to do with utility demand because of weather. So you saw strong demand from the utility space, from electric demand, natural gas demand, etc. But if you focus on, if you strip all that out, it was kind of modest. It was a modest report. Not terrible, not great. You saw cooling from February's number, even though auto and high-tech production picked up. And this is going to put extra focus on the Philly Fed survey coming up on Thursday, and then the ISM report on the 1st of May. Those will be more scrutinized and see whether this is kind of a one-time blip in slowdown in manufacturing, still growth, but a slowdown in growth, or this is something that is a one-time thing, or is it a trend that's happening? Okay. Now, industrial production beat the expectation by 0.2, 0.5% versus 1% prior. So you saw that decline in growth, but still growing. All right. Now, that's pretty much something you want to watch. I talked about those future reports this Thursday, and then on May 1st that you need to focus on and see if the production, the national production numbers are really slowing. And if it is, that could mean a lot for our economy going forward. Time to end the hour. Reminder, Steve has new dates for portfolio reviews. And that is coming up in San Jose on May 2nd, Wednesday. It's in a couple weeks. To reserve your hour with Steve, go to investtalk.com. I'm financial advisor Justin Klein. For Steve Peasley and I, thank you for making us a part of your day. Let's meet here again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is President and Justin Klein, Chief Executive Officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.